And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman, live today inside of Kitchen Notes in the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel at SEC Tip Off, where the basketball season is getting ready to take place. All the coaches are out here, and it's all exciting. By the way, Kentucky's announced they're going to play Morehead State in a special exhibition game. Apparently, they got a clearance from the SEC and the NCAA to do it, to raise money. All the money for all the tickets go to hurricane victims. So Kentucky's going to play Morehead State. And now the Tennessean is reporting that there is going to be – that it's in the talk that Vandy and Memphis might play an exhibition game with all the money going to charity that could happen next week.
Great idea.
And you know what? I think Jared and the GM, if Vandy and Memphis finalize that plan to play a game here in town, an exhibition game, even though exhibition college basketball is really not the biggest concern that I have in my life, I think Jared and the GM can get behind that and support it and push people to go out and buy tickets to support the hurricane victims and so on and so forth. So we're waiting on Joe Rexrow, but I have a bunch of Titan stuff to get into anywho. So first we'll start off with who didn't practice today. The Titans take on Cleveland on Sunday, and DeMarco Murray did not practice. He's day-to-day, according to Coach Mike Mularkey, with a hamstring injury. And Derek Morgan did not practice with an ab strain. Marcus Mariota, a full participant today in practice. I'm not sure that that really matters one way or the other. Although your face kind of perked up when I said that.
Well, full, in my mind, at least he's out there running around. He's not, you know, you worry about, even though he was really smart with how he took care of himself, you know, sometimes you can, like that little quarterback sneak, you know, you can strain it on something like that. So if he's out there running around today after playing a game, that's a good sign, really good sign.
Per Jim Wyatt of the Tennessean, Mike Mularkey said, Kevin Dodd will need to be a force on the corner if Derek Morgan is unable to play against the Titans. I you know, force on the corner for a guy who can't even get active is, I think, a little bit too much to ask.
Bit of a stretch.
I mean, I'm kind of asking for, in my mind, I'm kind of asking in my heart for Morgan to be a little bit of a force since we haven't called his name all season. And just a little surprising that DeMarco injured after Derrick Henry has a great game. Just starting to notice that Derrick had a great game against Jacksonville, and then
he was injured in the game. I mean, he didn't play like the last whatever it was, quarter and a half.
I still think right now if the game was on the line and I had to give it to one back, I'd give it to DeMarco. So I'm not sure if I read too much into that. So I have a quick question for you about the Titans.
Yes, sir.
Apparently, Titans and Colts drew what is likely ESPN's third lowest Monday Night Football overnight rating on record. This according to Austin Karp with a 6.1. He reported that yesterday. The third lowest Monday night the Monday Night Football overnight rating on record. Why? Why was the Titans Colt game rated so low on national TV? Was it because people just don't care about the Titans? I know Andrew Luck was out, and the Colts in Indianapolis, since Peyton's left, they have not been a popular team. I get that. But why are they so low for this game? It was an interesting game that kind of went down to the end. Usually the games where they have bad ratings are the huge blowouts, and that makes sense because people turn off in the third and fourth quarter. In this game, third lowest of all time for ESPN's Monday night? Holy smokes.
Well, I think you got two small market teams with two big-time quarterbacks that were probably not going to play. I mean, the thing that is unique about the NFL and their ratings, of course, and we've talked about this before, is look at what's going on now. You've got a choice. You can't choose which way you want to go. You've got a choice between watching Castle versus Bissett or watching baseball playoff. You know, what are you going to watch? And so I think that's what's hard with everything going on now. Every time there's an event on a Monday night or on the weekend, like there's a lot of basketball on the weekend, I mean, that has to affect something. Now, I don't know how those things work, but it's got to affect something. And I think you know, when you've got small market teams and you know, we really didn't, nobody knew who we were until we went to the Super Bowl. Now, after we went to the Super Bowl, we were in good shape for a few years. But prior to that, nobody knew who Eddie George or Steve McNair or those guys, nobody knew who they were.
I just think the Titans are a boring team. I like, and I'm cool with it. I am totally okay with the Titans being a boring team. I have not, I mean, because all I care about is winning and losing, right? So, you know, whether or not it's a big deal, I don't care about that. I just care about whether or not the Titans win football games.
Right.
So you can be the most boring team in the NFL. As long as you win, that's all I care about. But to, like, people around the country, there's no Odell Beckham on this team.
No.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But the quarterback's boring. The coach is boring. The local columnist who covers the team, you know, his columns are kind of boring. I mean, it's just there's a lot to the Titans are a boring team. And that's why their Monday Night Football ratings are low. Speaking of that local columnist, once again, kind of boring sometimes.
Also, you finally hit on the problem.
Sometimes kind of wrong. Joe Rexroad from the Tennessean joining us. I would say you're joining us here at SEC Tip-Off, but we're not really near any of the SEC Tip-Off stuff, nor do we want to talk basketball right now. But it's good to see you here at SEC Tip-Off.
It's good to be here a couple days after Eric Decker had 7 catches for 88 yards, which I think is like Andre Johnson's entire production from last season, right?
You would feel better about this, though. You have to know this. You'll feel really good about yourself. He said your articles are getting better.
Really?
Well, they're not as awful. Yeah, I'm really glad. I'm really glad. I'm really glad we can all celebrate Eric Decker not going over 100 yards, not having a touchdown against the worst defense in the NFL. I mean, if that is the standard that we are holding ourselves to when
Andre Johnson 2.0, that's the standard you.
Andre Johnson didn't stay around long enough to get to play against the Colts. If Andre might have had a decent game. Now, I will say this. Here we sit today, Joseph. The Titans are 3-3. They're going to win this Sunday against Cleveland, although my friend over here is going to get all nervous when we talk about if it's a for sure win.
It's the NFL.
But they are for sure going to win on Sunday. So do we feel good about the Titans this year? Do we feel like they're where they should be? I mean, where do you sit on where the Titans are right now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're too far from where they should be. I mean, considering that they didn't have Marcus for a game and a half, and, of course, the half game he missed, that was a lost game anyway. I mean, you look around this league, and I've heard you guys talk about this. I've heard you talk about, I mean, Jacksonville's the best and worst team in the league alternating weeks, I swear. The Titans have been erratic. I don't think they're going to be great on defense, but I don't think we thought they were going to be great on defense. Can they be like what they were in the second half against Indy? Can they be solid? And I think they can be great on offense still. And, you know, if Corey Davis comes back, I think the potential for that offense is to be in a very short list in the NFL, and I think that could be enough to win the league. To win the AFC South. So I think they're in a decent spot right now.
One of the positions that's really interesting to me, I guess, is the receiver position. You know, we look at it right now and you see holes and you know, you're a little bit concerned. And like last week, Decker steps up, but then you see Taylor run past everybody and catch that long ball. And you go, that's kind of interesting. And we've got another guy who happens to be the fifth choice in the draft that hasn't even put a jock on yet. You know, imagine, how do you picture all those guys once they get healthy and get back together?
Yeah, because you have two known commodities in Delanie Walker, you know, and then Rishard Matthews. And that's what, I mean, the Colts just were not, you know, they were very focused on those guys as everybody is. So now if you can get Taywan more involved, and I think Decker, that's what I thought Decker would be more this year, really.
Oh, okay.
And I know it was training camp running around in shorts, but he and Marcus had a good chemistry. And so if that happens, then you bring in Davis. You know, they missed Tajay Sharp. They've missed him this year. I mean, he's a guy you could count on to go out there. Don't give me that look, Jared.
I mean, I like.
He was a pretty good player last year.
Joe Rexroad with the Tennessean is with us. I'm not ready to sit here and have the how much do they miss Tajay Sharp discussion.
He would have produced some for this team, especially a couple weeks ago when they couldn't get Taywan on the field. And Decker, you know, he did look slow. And just, I mean, Terry Rubisky said last week, kind of surprised me. You know, Taywan Taylor, you expect he's a rookie. He was in that system at WKU. It's going to take him some time. But he said, you know, Decker still hasn't caught on to everything, all the terminology, all the choices and all the reads, and he's messed up some big plays. And that was kind of surprising to hear about a guy who's been in the league so long, but it is new for him. So Tajae Sharpe, I think healthy this year, probably gets a lot of snaps and makes some plays. But Corey Davis, the thing is, you almost forget about him now, you know. And
we were talking about him yesterday, and he says, "Well, he's out this week. What do you think?" I said, "I don't care."
It's like you just assume, right?
Yeah,
but he's good.
Call me when he's back.
Yeah,
then I want to play here.
Joe Rexroad is with us. Here's my biggest thing with the Titans, and I really believe this, and I think there are a lot of people out there that probably are going to disagree. My biggest thing is we get all into Marcus and we get into the running backs and we get into like the stars of the soap opera. They can't get to the quarterback. And that's what's going to ultimately burn them, is that they cannot get to the QB. I'm sitting there watching, and I know they only gave up 3 points in the second half against the Colts, and those 3 points were because they allowed a kickoff return to about the 40. But Jacoby Brissett just stood there in the entire first half. And against Deshaun Watson, they couldn't do anything against him. And they've got no pass rush. And I have seen the Titans build playoff and Super Bowl contenders off of pass rush, and they have no pass rush whatsoever. And nobody talks about it.
Well, I think the interior rush is really lacking right now. And, you know, last year Morgan and Arakpo on the edge were good, and they're still good. I mean, those guys make some plays. They had a huge blitz in the second half to force Brissett to throw that P.I.
See, you got sucked into the Morgan trap. Morgan is not good. Morgan is not bad, but he's not good. But because the Titans have had so many bad players for so long on defense, Morgan has kind of stood out as a not bad player, so he must be good.
I think he was really pretty good last year. I think he was pretty good last year. But I agree, like inside they're getting nothing. And I don't know if Casey hasn't been as disruptive this year. You know, Sly Williams so far, that pickup, it hasn't produce much. They miss Aaron Wallace right now, and I think that would help their pass rush. Aaron Wallace is a player who can do some of that, and of course we know about Kevin Dodd. I mean, he's sitting on the shelf. So no, I agree. I think it's a problem. They have 6 sacks. They had 40 last year. I mean, they're not close to that kind of pace, and that is where I see it. I still think Arakpo and Morgan, when he gets back, he's got that abdominal strain. I think those guys will still can get off the edge and make plays, but they're getting nothing inside. It's not like the Colts are a very good offensive line. It's kind of troubling.
And if you get the inside pressure, you collapse the pocket, then all of a sudden those guys step out, and now you rush up, you know, outside the tackle. You're in great shape.
It's so important to have that.
Yeah.
Casey, you know, I don't know. I know he was banged up early in the season.
He stinks compared to what he normally is.
Or maybe he just stinks.
He's not giving you anything, and he's a great player that's not giving you.
No, he's got to give more. And Carl Klug, too. You don't forget him last year. Carl Klug in third downs last year.
Well, Floyd wanted to cut him before
the season. After bits.
And I'm not sure I wasn't right.
No, I know you were right, but the people on Twitter and the callers were not very happy.
He does not look like himself.
He is not the same.
Yeah.
And may never be the same.
Right.
So to answer the question, how do we feel about the Titans right now?
Yeah, again, I think the defense is – I do think the secondary is better. I do. And I think the linebackers played great the other night. I mean, Woodyard, you know, Williamson gets the strip. I mean, Jayon Brown had 3 big third down plays, 2 in coverage, and then he had the blitz. I think they can be okay on defense. Their secondary is better. But, yeah, I think you're right. That up front – you know, they let the Colts run a lot more in the first half than I thought that they would in that game at all. And, again, the pass rush, they're going to have to outscore good teams to win games, you know. But I think they can if they get all the pieces back on offense. And they can
win. You think they can go to Pittsburgh on that Thursday night football and go outscore the Steelers?
I mean, Big Ben threw 5 picks to the Jags last week. And then they go to Kansas City and they're amazing. The NFL is just, you know.
I'll be honest with
you. Sure.
We talked about it yesterday. 27 teams are within a game of each other.
Yeah, exactly.
They're either 4, 3, or 2. And there's 1 or 2 at the top, and there's 1 or 2 at the bottom, and then there's 27 of them all smashed together there. And it doesn't matter who you are. And that's why we talk about, when we talk about Cleveland, I said, look at Denver. Look at Atlanta. Look at, you know, what happened to them with teams that are not very, you know, 0-5. It's hard to get worse than that. So
look, I mean, San Francisco is one of those 0-6 teams. They could easily be 4-2 right now.
Look
at their games. I mean, the Browns maybe not, but even the Browns, I think, are competitive on defense. And I think Myles Garrett's a good player. You know, one of these weeks, Deshaun Kizer, a light will go on, and he'll you know, hit some big shots, and they'll beat somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so I don't know if you like that or not in the NFL, but that's what it is this year. I can't remember a year more unpredictable than this one.
Well,
so far.
Parity has always been their number one, goal.
Yeah.
And this year it looks more than ever because it doesn't matter. I said every a traditional year by this time, teams have weeded out. Good teams know they're good, and bad teams know they're bad. And so, starting about this time, you play them, and it's if you play a bad team, they'll kind of give it up to you at some point in time. Not this year. I mean, every team, and Jacksonville may be the poster child. You look at them and you say, wait a minute now. We kicked the heck, and they kicked the heck out of Houston, and then turn around and
go to Pittsburgh.
Unbelievable.
And they come home, can't beat the Rams.
Oh, amazing.
So, Jared, it's hard because I know you want to make sweeping judgments, after each one of these performances, but the Titans are going to be all over the map the rest of the year still. I mean, there's going to be a couple that are just terrific performances, and there's going to be that defense is going to let them down in some big games, too.
615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad from the Tennessee, and with us, we'll get some more Titans thoughts. I have a really odd Titans stat that I haven't set out there yet. I'm not sure if I will now or not, but I want to get to it. And I also, we haven't talked about Butch Jones, and we will certainly do all of that. 615-737-1025. It's Jared the GM on ESPN 1025, the game. Jared and the GM hanging out at, I almost said Bar Lines, at Kitchen Notes inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. SEC tip-off happening right now. All the coaches upstairs talking about, I don't know, what are they talking about, Joseph? Joe Rexroad from the Tennessean with the shoes?
John Calipari just sat there and made Louisville jokes the whole time. I'll give you the tape later.
I guarantee you John Calipari had no comment about anything that was shoe-related or FBI.
No, you're wrong. John Calipari actually had some really good stuff. He said behavior will change, which, of course, people will hear that with a snicker. But he had some interesting stuff about, two and done. Some people want to do two and done. And, his point is, okay, so if the choice is two and done or you can go right to the D-League, kids are going to choose the D-League. So now what you're doing is you are encouraging kids to not get any education at all. I know everybody rips on one and done, but if you start in college at some point, you can finish at some point. He made the point that they have lifetime scholarships. He talked a lot about that stuff, so it's interesting. I mean,
Was there discussion about shoe deals and whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, that's about the extent of it. He said, well, we feel good about what we do. That was one quote from him.
I want to talk about it.
And, behavior will change. He actually was, jokingly searching reporters for mics or for wires, So, he had some fun with it. But
now, see, this is
a lot
my
of
thing.
That today. Bruce Pearl's coming up soon, so.
That's a
There's
total.
The interesting one.
I'm telling you right now, it's a total diversion. His whole two and done discussion is so that Joe will write his column about the two and done, and not about whether or not Kentucky's cheating in basketball, which is fine either way. I'm just telling you that's what they're doing.
Are they?
Now to the Titans. I don't know. To the Titans, they play the AFC North the next four games: Cleveland, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. Then they get the Colts. And the reason I bring this up is because they had a little graphic on NFL Live yesterday talking about the Titans, and it was the percent chance to win those games. And each of the first three, Cleveland, Baltimore, and Cincinnati, is all in the 70-60% range. And then it's 26% to beat the Steelers at Pittsburgh on Thursday night. I will settle out of court right now for three of those next four. Do you think, is it fair to hold the Titans accountable to win three of those four against the AFC North? Because I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's two at home. I mean, they should beat Baltimore and Cincinnati at home, and they should certainly win at Cleveland. So hold them accountable. If they want to win the AFC South, I think they need to do that. I need to, if they're 6-4 at the end of that, 6-4 with six to go, I think they'd be in decent shape knowing that, like you said, they go to Indy, and I think the week after that is Houston here, right? So there you go.
Well, those four games are going to be some of those we've talked about before. Difference between being 10-6 and 6-10, there's about a dozen plays in those four games that will determine the outcome of all of them.
They better beat the Bengals. I mean, they're going to beat Cleveland, and they're probably going to beat Baltimore. I'm just saying they better beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati's going to be the toughest of those three.
Baltimore, you mean?
No, Cincinnati.
Oh, you think Cincinnati will be tougher than Baltimore?
I really do.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know how Baltimore scores points. It to me, but you brought up the Houston game. That's December 3rd. I feel like if they leave that game and they're in first place, they're going to win the division. Because after that, it's Arizona, San Francisco, the Rams, and Jacksonville.
So the Rams look pretty good right now.
Don't be blowing those teams up. You know, San Francisco hasn't won a game.
It'll stop with San Francisco.
And they have lost. The biggest margin of loss in five of the six was 3 points. They've lost 2-2, 3-3 in like five or something, whatever.
It's like the Chargers. I mean, you know, they're not bad, but they lose every game, and then they go beat the Raiders.
Except that the Niners actually do lose every game. And now they have Floyd's least favorite thing, a rookie quarterback. So I'm not too worried about that one. But, I mean, it's just it's going to be a fun season, I think. But it's all going to come down a little crazy. Speaking of not fun seasons, the University of Tennessee so far, not a fun season. We know that the next step is to fire the coach, and then the step after that is to hire the right coach. Floyd and I have already skipped past the firing of the coach stage. So how does Tennessee make sure they go about hiring the right coach?
It's a huge one. I mean, John Curry, I'm sure, did not want this to be on him this fast, but it is. You know, I mean, you've got to have a great search. You've got to have, a person in charge. I mean, you want a committee, you're going to get input from, I'm sure, a lot of people. Peyton Manning, right? I mean, a lot of people around Tennessee. But John Curry has to lead the search and have the final say. And to me, there are a lot of intriguing candidates. I think it has to be someone who has demonstrated success as a head coach. Which, you know, a couple people on the list, a lot of popular lists will be T. Martin and Jim Bob Cooter. They're Tennessee guys. But, you know, to me, I would want someone who has been a successful head coach. I look at a guy like Mike Norvell at Memphis, and I think you kick the tires on that. Now, you might want to go higher profile than that, and everybody's going to talk about Gruden, which I don't think is remotely possible.
Well, if you pay him $13 million, Kelly. You have a chance.
Well, hey, if he'd be willing, then I'd count it up. But I don't see that as realistic. But, you know, there are a lot of – look, you're not necessarily going to find – I've heard this, like, you're never going to find, like, the next Saban. Okay, fine. You can find a better coach than Butch Jones. And with all the advantages you have at that place, you can win at Tennessee.
Is Curry equipped to make this hire?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, the biggest, I guess, profile hire he's made is Bruce Weber as men's basketball coach at Kansas State, which was a solid hire. I mean, you know, Bruce didn't do what he wanted to do at Illinois after that great run, which wasn't Bill Self's players. So I don't know. I mean, this is, this is going to be sort of a career-defining hire for him, really.
Yeah, I don't trust him. And I don't trust – here's what I don't trust. Like, I don't know if I trust him or not. I don't trust the search firms. I don't trust the boosters. I don't trust – the same people that Tennessee and the athletic directors have always given in to every time. You know, the big money people always screw all this up. So unless you're a big money person that's going to give me $15 million right now to go hire the coach and the staff that I need for that coach, then get out of my way. That's the way I feel about it.
I agree. But that's why if you like, I don't think you take that job unless you feel comfortable that you're going to be able to actually have say in a situation like this. Now, I know things get maybe change once you're in it, but now, I mean, if you're just going to be a puppet of the money people, you know, then you're going to fail. So I think John Kerr is a pretty smart guy.
What's the best thing to do for the program? Let's assume that Butch is gone. Is the best thing to do it now? Do it next week? Do it at the end of the season? Is there a best way?
I guess, you know, just let him take the beating in Alabama and then do it. You know, don't make someone else. No, but I mean, to me, if you're 100% and you know, then I think I understand there's reasons to just hold off and don't have this super long search. But I don't know. This season and this recruiting class, those are secondary concerns, right? I mean, but
not
I do
to Floyd.
Well, but I do think that you probably have a better chance of getting to a bowl game if you do make a change. If it keeps going like this and it's so negative, and that's all the kids hear about, it's all they talk about, it's all they talk about with their friends. And if you get rid of that and you put Brady Hoke in and say, you know what, let's just play football and do the best we can, they probably win a couple more games than they would have. You know, so if that matters, that's secondary. But if it gets so negative that people are just can't stomach it, then I don't see why you keep them around.
Joe Rex wrote from the Tennessean. So do you think it'll happen Sunday?
I wouldn't be shocked if it happened Sunday or Monday after this game. I'm not going to be shocked if it doesn't, but I think we're getting to the point where
I think they should do it if they're going to do it this week. I think they should do it on Tuesday. Well, because Jared and the GM have Monday, we can react to the Titans. And then the Titans are on a bye. So if they want to fire him Tuesday,
sure.
And then we'll take the whole next week while the Titans are on the bye to talk about Tennessee and their football coaching situation. We would love that. You're talking about the most opportune time.
I think I'm Tuesday sure they'll make a note of that.
Is the best bet for Jared and the GM. So, if you're in Cleveland covering the Titans this weekend and they fire Butch Jones, does your column then have to be about Butch Jones and not the Titans?
That's a good question. I'm going to Bama and Cleveland, by the way, so that'll be a fun little Sunday morning. Yeah. I'm still writing about the Titans, but it'll probably just be like, hey, whip one up here. I'm glad you said that because I need to probably get a little more prepared than I am right now. thanks for the reminder.
Joe Rexroad from the Tennessean, and we will be sure to check out your awesome and horrific columns.
Improving.
In the paper.
Still
I have not seen a column in, 3 weeks that I've literally had to stop and say, Joseph. Because there are those columns that I read and I look at and I just have to shake my head. Like your pro Vandy women's basketball takes are just absurd. But
oh my gosh.
That's neither here nor there. Joe Rexroad from the Tennessean. We'll see you, Joe. Go check out Bruce Pearl. See what he's getting up to here at SEC Tip-Off. Coming up next, though, you got to hear what Nick Saban said about Tennessee. Even Floyd was chuckling when I played for him what Nick Saban said. We will get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
A lot of respect for this team and what we'll have to do and how we'll have to play to be able to have success against this team. But in rivalry games, you know, you can pretty much throw out the record book, throw out the records of the team, throw out what happened last year, throw out what happened so far this year, and make sure that you're ready to play your best game when you play in these types of games.
Nick Saban, hey, big rivalry game with Tennessee because it's such a rivalry now, Floyd. Throw out the record books when you play in these rivalries. That sounded like a corny, cheesy, you know, television announcer. Hey, you know, in a big rivalry game, throw out the record books, Johnny. That's what it felt like coming from Nick.
He's trying to sell the fact that, you know, if you overlook these guys, they'll spank you.
Do you really think that that's true, though?
If you overlook them, sure.
Nick is trying to fend off the rat poison media, which is not giving Tennessee a chance. And that's fair. The best part, though, is Floyd gets on me all the time. You get on me about talking myself into things, right?
Oh, yes.
So we heard Nick right there talk about the rivalry game aspect of this, which we all know Nick doesn't believe as well. But he's trying. Now, Watch how Nick talks himself in to the fact that this game against Tennessee might actually be competitive. First, he talked about what the Vols might have to prove.
They put themselves in position to win every game that they played this year except one. So we have a tremendous amount of respect for the games that we've had in the past, what we've had to defend, how they play, the toughness they play with, what it's going to mean to them in this game. Because they're in the situation that they're in, you could make a case that, you know, they'll come in here and play great, play, you know, really, really well, try to prove something.
So now Saban's starting to talk to himself a little bit. Well, you know, they've been close in every game they've played in, and we have to respect that. No, the past games have been close, and let's forget. And, you know, the situation they're in, they might have to. So it feels like kind of like when Tyron and Brentwood calls, and he gets a little bit angrier each point he makes. Yeah. And so right now, you're starting to see Saban. You're starting to see him. He's kind of convincing himself this could be a ball game, and then finally goes back to the rivalry.
I think when you have rivalry games that have tradition associated with them for many, many, many years, that there's a different kind of motivation for those kinds of games. But I also think that the two games that we've had here lately, same kind of situation. You know, their team is pretty much a 500 team, and we're pretty much where we are, and we struggle to beat them. So, you know, I think you all, like always, you know, you're always looking for all these assumptions that you make because they have issues, they have problems of some kind of way. Why can't that be a great motivating factor for them and they come play their best game of the year? Y'all ever think of that? Or just, you know, so you can look at the glass half empty or half full, not to get to the Coke bottle.
I mean, he's trying. He's in there, and it's like he's talking himself into how Tennessee. Yeah, why didn't you ever think that maybe they'll play harder because of the situation they're in? Why didn't you ever? And turns it right back to the media. I love Nick Saban for so many reasons. but he is trying. That is the difference. That is the gap between Tennessee, Alabama, is Nick is now mad at the media preemptively for not coming up with some cockamamie theory as to why Tennessee could be competitive in this ballgame.
Well, he is doing what he was trying to combat people like us, you know, which is people, oh, they can't lose to this. Hey, there's no way they can lose to Tennessee.
The rat poison.
There's no, and Nick is fighting that tooth and nail all the way through simply because he's been on enough teams that have lost to a team like Tennessee that he knows it can happen, and he's going to make sure it does not happen to his team.
Any chance that Tennessee wins this game?
I mean, I'm going to guess Nick will have his guys prepared.
But, I'm not saying is Nick going to have his team prepared to think that they might lose to Tennessee. I'm talking about the reality of any chance Tennessee having to beat Alabama.
No, if Tennessee goes out and plays their game, I mean, they're going to win.
You mean Alabama?
I mean Alabama. If they go out and play their game, they're going to win. The thing he's worried about is that they don't go out and play their game. And Tennessee plays better than they have played. That's when you get in trouble.
Yeah, because what if their situation has them playing harder and more motivated than they've played all season?
There
Why don't you
go.
Ever think of that, Floyd?
I mean,
you are the GM,
you
don't ever get into it. And I give Nick Saban an A for effort. You know, like, I am A for effort to grumpy old St. Nick, because he really is trying here, and I get it. It's got to be hard when everybody in your conference that you've played so far stinks and you're winning 100-0 every week and everyone tells your team how great they are, and yet you're still angry because in the third quarter when you were up by 32, your backup inside linebacker went inside when he should have gone outside, and Nick knows that if there are no consequences, because there are no consequences in the games, if there are no consequences for him realizing how important it is to go outside instead of inside, that when they play Georgia or when they play Penn State or when they play somebody good in the playoff, that guy going inside instead of outside is going to matter, because even though he's the second string now, they're going to lose the first string to injury, and he's going to have to play, and he's going to make the mistake, and it's going to cost him a national title. And I get that's exactly where Nick is. I know it.
Well, I mean, he's not – talk like this is for this week, but it's not entirely for this week. You know, he's got to get through this season undefeated. And that's not going to be easy, I don't care who you are, simply because, you know, there's going to be that game where you do commit 5 turnovers. And if you do, you know, you easily could lose. And so I think the all of these kinds of talks are for Tennessee, of course, but they're for whoever's next, you know, whoever that may be.
Well, this is where, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, this is where Nick's worried, is their schedule is cupcake after cupcake, because, I'm sorry, the SEC – and their two East opponents are Vandy and UT. So it's all cupcake, cupcake, cupcake. Then the last week of the year is Auburn, who now, after their performance in the second half against LSU, is starting to look more like a cupcake than a good team. But then it's Georgia playoff, playoff. And so you ramp up the intensity on your schedule by about 8 million when you get to that last Auburn game, Georgia, and then playoff, playoff. And any one of those games could be an elimination game, because if you lose it, you might not get to play the next game.
Mm-hmm.
So if you lose, well, I guess technically if you only lose to Auburn, you still win the West, because they've already lost twice. No, you wouldn't, because Auburn's only lost once in the SEC. So all those are de facto playoff games. So it would be like if you were going at 20 miles an hour and then you got to go 100 miles an hour and the margin for error becomes nothing. And that's where Nick is right now. And I get why he's like that, but I love himself working himself up into this belief that Tennessee might be more motivated because of their situation and then blaming the media. Can we get that last clip one more time, Saban on the UT rivalry? This is my favorite that I've heard from Saban in about 2 weeks.
I think when you have rivalry games that have tradition associated with them for many, many, many years, that there's a different kind of motivation for those kinds of games. But I also think that the last two games that we've had here lately, same kind of situation. You know, their team is pretty much a 500 team, and we're pretty much where we are, and we struggle to beat them. So, you know, I think you all, like always, you know, You're always looking for all these assumptions that you make because they have issues, they have problems of some kind of way. Why can't that be a great motivating factor for them and they come play their best game of the year? Y'all ever think of that? Or just, you know, so you can look at the glass half empty or half full, not to get to the Coke bottle.
I love that part. My favorite part of that is as soon as he goes, and you all, and then you see, like, he turns the corner, like always, and then you start hearing the podium slaps.
Do you ever think of that?
Yeah, right? Like, you know, why not? It's almost like Saban is now convinced himself. You know, Nick Saban's got it convinced. We'll take your calls on Saban, UT, whatever, 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM live from Kitchen Notes inside of the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. I have one really quick question for you, Floyd, because you've been fired a lot, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, we're live out at Kitchen Notes inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. Like, if you're Butch Jones, you're putting in a game plan for Alabama this week. Like, how hard is that when everybody knows that you might be fired?
Oh, it's awful. I mean, I've always said that the years that I knew or I thought we were going to get fired, you worked twice as hard as you did in the other years. Simply because you keep telling yourself, golly, if we can just pull out one more win, that may be the thing that gets us over the hump. If we can just figure out a way to beat Alabama, that would get us over the hump.
I will say this. If they beat Alabama, that will probably get them over the hump.
And that's what they're saying. So they are working themselves into death.
My guess is if Butch Jones beats Alabama this year, that he'll keep his job next year. I'm just not really sure that's going to happen. And more importantly, I'm not sure he's probably going to keep his job for next week. Now, what's great, though, is Nick believes that in this case, you know, as far as UT's concerned, that they'll find a way to motivate themselves. Let's go to the phones. Wes is up next here on the show. What's up, Wes?
Yeah, as Clark Griswold said, I wouldn't be more surprised if I woke up with my head still on the carpet if that happened. and so, you know, listen to Nick Saban, you know, talking of Butch Jones when he's favored 34 points over him. Yeah, it reminds me, this is probably before your time, Jared, of Patino stumping for Wade Houston after he beat UT by 61 in the 93 SEC tournament. I mean, I don't get it. Yeah, I don't get why he's still there. To me, you know, it would have been better to pull the trigger last week, because then I think if you get in some, you know, Aunt Brady Hoke, or, you know, bring back the old battle captain Fulmer or somebody, I think you got a better chance of winning against Kentucky than you do with Butch Jones. I think this almost, you know, if you fire him after Alabama now, I mean, with the disarray and, you know, all the emotion that goes along with that the next week, I don't think there's any way you're going up to Kentucky and beating them, which is a 50-50 game anyway.
Yeah,
Wes, thank you.
I never thought of it quite that way, but Wes is probably right. I mean, you go through depending on who they hire and, you know, when they hire them and all that kind of stuff. If you go up there with a new interim coach that they are maybe really fond of, then, you know, maybe it's a good thing. But if not, then, you know, it could be a struggle. And they'll know. I mean, whoever the interim is, if he's somebody on the staff, he's got to go in there with the attitude that, okay, guys, if we pull this together and if we, you know, can win out and if we can, you know, this and that and the other, then I'll be the coach and I love all you guys and I know all you guys and you'll all be safe and, you know, all that kind of talk versus some new guy coming in here, different system, different staff. Now you have to prove to them you can play or not. On and on. So it gives you something to sell. Now, whether or not it's worth a hill of beans is something else.
Now, there is something to that. I got a quick Preds thought here, and it is – and by the way, coming up at 5 o'clock, I have a blazing, smoking hot Titans take that I am so excited to get to. But a quick Preds take here, and it is – I look at the standings right now. The Preds are in fourth place in the Central Division. They are – they're 1 point behind the Avalanche and Blues, who have 8 points. They have 7 points, and the Blackhawks have 9 points. Now, the Preds play tomorrow at Philadelphia. In fact, we'll be at Frisky Frogs getting people all ready for that. But my question is, when do we start caring about this? Like, when in the season do we start caring about the points and where they are in conjunction with – because you, do you know who's leading the other division in the Western Conference, the Pacific Division?
Yeah. Vegas, baby.
So the expansion team right now is 5-1. They've got 10 points, and the Kings have 9 points, and everybody else is below them. And the Edmonton, who was the hot team to start the season, is 1-4. They got 2 points. I promise you, Edmonton will finish ahead of Vegas. So when do we start caring about this? Like, when does this actually start to matter? And Ian, I want to include you on this because, I mean, to be completely frank, I always feel like the 1st of January is when it really starts to matter. Is that fair?
Are you asking me?
I mean, I'm asking the whole group.
I mean, if you're talking about just within the Central?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if they want home ice, it all matters.
See, you're right, because last year they didn't play well in October and December, and that's what set them back. And then, you know, we moan and groan about it when it comes to March, and it's like, oh, are you going to make the playoffs? And then I got you over here just going, give me the playoff, baby! And, like, I get all that. But yet, right now the Predators are worse than the Avalanche, and they're worse than the expansion team. Are they really worse than the expansion team? Are they really worse than the expansion team?
No.
See, I mean, so I don't – I want to know when all of a sudden we can start looking at the standings and getting excited or not excited one way or the other. Floyd, when's our moment of truth?
I mean, you know.
Excited or angry?
You know, I would say, you know, closer to Thanksgiving. Once that starts to go down, if, you know, they're really starting to fall back, you'd start to get a little bit worried.
See, at U.S. Thanksgiving last year, though, I thought the Predators were struggling. You know, they were kind of they had that bad October, and then they had the good November to kind of get them back on track, but it wasn't, you know, U.S. Yeah, you know what? Do we want to use U.S. Thanksgiving as our line of demarcation?
For me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. It is Jared in the GM. It's not Jared in the air.
Well, yeah, but you were talking to Ian. So
that's true.
I mean, that's way too early for me. For me. You know, now we – I mean, last year we didn't even start really talking about him until February or whatever it was. And I mean, on a daily ebbs, 4 hours a day. And that went for quite a while, you know. I just don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's because of the Preds and it's because of the attitude of last year, especially. I mean, last year the regular season was nothing. It didn't mean anything. It was meaningless. You know, that's where we came up with, hey, just get me to the playoffs, baby. No, because it didn't, you know, once you get into the playoffs, now it starts. Now we really crank it up. Now you better pay attention. I understand how the system works, and yeah, but if you want home ice, and I understand all that, and I'm not denying any of it. But I mean, we made it to the finals as the 16 seed. So
I mean, it's like baseball. I say you don't worry about – you don't worry about the division until Memorial Day, and you don't worry about the wild card until July 4th. You don't start worrying about it, and July 4th is, what, halfway through the baseball season? So, yeah. I mean, that's how I feel. I'm not going to worry about the division and the Central Division and home ice and all that until about December 15th, and then I'm not going to worry about the Preds making the playoffs as a wild card until February 1st. Until then, I just want to see how they play, and I want to see them play together, and I want to see them play the way they played last night, because last night was the best game they played this season, and I really, really like the way they played the other night at Chicago. So just get those points so that you can get Floyd to the playoffs.
And I think we believe that Preds are going to be good enough that you know, just by going out there on a daily basis and as Bill would say, doing their jobs, that they're going to be in heavy competition for a good slot. You know, I mean, they're going to be up in the pack.
Well, the problem was that they didn't do their jobs last year.
Yeah, I mean, but I think we were all a little bit surprised at the way things turned out. So I think we can count on it again, but I think we're going to have to place better. But I think we are better, and I think everybody will expect us to be better, and I think we will play better. And consequently, you know, you come out of it and you're the, I don't know what, you know, fifth seed. I'm just throwing a number out there. Well, now you go about your business and, you know, we're in good shape. Now we're in the playoffs. Let's go get it done.
Coming up next, I've got a blazing hot Titans take, but it is honestly something I believe, and I know the GM in his heart's probably going to agree to. It's Jared and the GM. We are live at Kitchen Notes inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. Coming out to Kitchen Notes, where, of course, the food and the biscuits are next level amazing. And if you stop by Kitchen Notes, say you park your car downtown, valet at the Omni, get it validated at Kitchen Notes, and that is the easiest way. I promise you, it's the easiest way to park in downtown Nashville and enjoy the events, et cetera. If you're going to a game or a concert, Kitchen Notes, the spot. Get that validated when you come through here. Great biscuits, great food always at Kitchen Notes. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game.